Okay. We're talking about a very, very Yesodistic topic. A Yesodistic topic which is both relevant because we will, Be'ezra Hashem, be celebrating Shavuos this evening. It's also relevant because it relates a lot to the nature of Talmud Torah and what Talmud Torah is all about. Shavuos is the time in which the Torah was given from Ribono Shel Olam to us. Shavuos is also the time in which we were Mekabel Torah. A person can give something, it does not mean that it is being received. Part of the Maila of Shavuos is that Ribono Shel Olam was giving, and we were there, and we were able to receive. There is what appears to be a fascinating machlokas between Rav Dessler and Michtav Meliyahu, Salvechik in many, many places in his writings, about an element of the nature of ideal Talmud Torah, ideal Kabbalas HaTorah, what exactly it is that we were given and the way in which we're supposed to use and relate to our Talmud Torah in many ways in response to the nature of Kabbalas HaTorah and what took place. I do not claim that these are the only two that had opinions on this particular topic. They are, however, the two that we are going to be speaking about. This machlokas happens to be just Derech Agav, Rabbi Apfel, formerly of Torah Shraga and now of Mivaseret. Rabbi Apfel wrote an alum of this yeshiva, wrote a nice article a bunch of years ago on the Hashkafic divergence in contemporary orthodoxy. He was basically trying to make the argument that it can't be coincidental that in Hashkafically that, you know, Zionism should also align with where you are on women's issues, and it should also align with where you are on secular studies. It must be that it's not random that there are these three or four nekudas that become primary hashkafic machloksim. It must be that there are some underlying machloksim which take place. In the context of that article, Rabbi Apfel points out this machlokas between the Raven of Dessler. We're going to try to elaborate upon it a little bit. We'll quote a little bit from different places from the Raven and the like, but it's a wonderful, wonderful job that he did. Let me begin like this. Rav Dessler, in Chelek Aleph of Michtav Meliyahu, has a piece on page 218, Torah Bifnim Uvichitzon, internal Torah and external Torah, Yachas HaMechker HaSichli V'Hadveikus, the relationship between intellectual understanding of Torah and Dveikus and cleaving to Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Dessler is going to try to articulate two different perspectives in regards to Torah, two different perspectives in regards to how we learn Torah. He's going to take sides in terms of which he views as more ideal and which he views as b'di'eved. He's going to connect them to a Gemara or two. He's going to connect them to elements of Shavuos. Let's try to understand in the following way. He writes like it starts on the sheet. It is not online anywhere, and I didn't get a chance to copy it. I apologize. Gam ba'ofane kiyam v'hasagas ha'torah kadosh yisonu beis tefis halalu. There are two different perspectives in the way that learning works. This is very, very Yesodistic and very, very important. One, I'm going to go out of order because I think the second one is a little bit easier, is Hu yargish v'yavchin b'sichlo es chavasu l'kayim es ha-mishpatim. It's an intellectual form of Talmud Torah. I understand things, I appreciate things intellectually, and that's what I do. I understand intellectually why things are the way they are. To understand what is okay and is not okay, the source for that becomes the rational mind, based on the kelim we're given at Matan Torah. The rational mind, I become a very important piece of this, even in the realm of intellectual capacity, intellectual ability. But that is one madrega in Talmud Torah. That is the form of madrega of Talmud Torah that most of us, I think, are most intimately familiar with. Talmud Torah of sitting down and trying to understand what's going on, trying to figure out what the pshat really is, trying to look at a Rishon or an Achron and put things together. That's one element of Talmud Torah. There is, however, another way that Torah gets revealed, so argues Rav Dessler. Lefi dargas tohar hanefesh, minigios hamidos vataivos. A person becomes so pure, a person becomes so holy, that they get rid of their bad midos, they get rid of their taivas, then that person is misugelas hanefesh. That person's nefesh is able to understand and appreciate l'tfisas haTorah b'pnimiusa. They understand in a much deeper way, internally, not intellectually. Internally, they're able to feel what is considered to be appropriate alpi Torah and what is inappropriate alpi Torah. It's a function, says Rav Dessler, of a certain kind of dveikas. Hadbeik v'Hashem Yisbarach v'emes, misbatahu eilav kolkach, at shelo ya'ala libo klal, ma'shir reyusichlo mitzor v'chobas ha'maisa. Your seichel is not going to be as critical. Your intellect is not as important. You're so in touch. You're so pure. Your religious intuition, your shaychus to Ribbono Shel Olam is so pure. Who margish ba'atzmo she'ein lo shum inyan zulas hayos mavinus b'shamayim. He has no other cheshbonos. He's batel towards dveikus. He's batel towards Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a knowledge of Torah which is so deep. It's not intellectual. It's something which a person feels inside, of what's right, what's okay, I'll be Torah, what's not. For some Bali Machshava, this is the Torah that the Avos kept. That when Chazal say that the Avos kept all of Torah, what Chazal means, not that they sat down and they learned the Seder, but they were so in touch with Ribbono Shel Olam, there was something so deep inside that they intuitively were able to feel and experience, this is what Ribbono Shel Olam really wants, this is what Ribbono Shel Olam does not really want. This suggests, Rav Dessler, this form of like intuitive understanding, intuitive knowledge, can't be taught. You could teach something in the realm of Seichel. We could give a shiur and analyze and talk perspectives about a particular mitzvah. But the feeling that comes from inside, with the Avos HaKadoshim, we're able to tap into, that is a hargasha that a person can't give over, says Rav Dessler to anybody else, that Efsher lilamid rak bederech hesber hasichli. I can only teach in a way which is more intellectual. So tfisa hapnimis e efsher lilamid klal. That I can't give over. This knowledge of pnimis, says Rav Dessler, is bevchina sod she efsher lemosro. It's like a secret. I feel it and I'm able to give it over. But other people are not really able to experience this. Rav Dessler, because of this, relates to two phenomenons, both of which I think are intriguing to bring it to our main point. Says Rav Dessler, herein lies the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios. Luchos Rishonos, Chazal tell us, were given over. It all comes from Avinu Shebashamayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, it comes all the way down from Hashem. Luchos Rishonos had everything in it. Luchos was given over Torah on a level of Dveikus and Panemius. That didn't work for us. Luchos Achronos, Luchos Shnios, the second Luchos, that's Psal Licha. That requires us to play a role in it. That requires us to be involved. It comes from Bnei Adam. That's going to be more Al Piderech HaSeicha. Rav Dessler, in light of this, explains a Gemara that is a very perplexing Gemara that I think we probably all are familiar with. It's a Gemara Menachos and Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara tells us the Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the Sefer Torah. He's writing the Torah. And as Moshe is writing it, he adds certain kisrei osios, he adds certain crowns. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Ribbono Shel Olam, what are these crowns for? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, one day there's going to be a person, Rabbi Akiva, who's going to darshan them. The Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash. He's sitting in the back listening to Rabbi Akiva give shir. What an unbelievable sight that must have been. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the back listening to Rabbi Akiva give shir. And he's darshaning things. And as the Gemara tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't really chop what is going on. And then the Gemara says, one of the Talmidim says, Rebbe, how do you know this? And he says, Halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. And Moshe emerges comforted. It's a wildly perplexing Gemara on a whole lot of levels. Well, how can Moshe not understand what Rabbi Akiva said? Question number one. Question number two, why was Moshe comforted when we're told, Halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai? What exactly is the comfort there? Is the comfort there that what Moshe, the un of Mikol Adam, says of Dessler, is comforted because, like, he's still part of this? Like, he's still in? Where is, what exactly is going on? Suggests with Dessler the following. V'vaday lo chasel Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol ha-Torah kula, afil mashi yichadei shebi Akiva. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu knew. Of course he knew everything that was going to come from Torah. Of course he was aware of it. The difference was that Moshe Rabbeinu's knowledge was different than Rabbi Akiva's knowledge. Moshe Rabbeinu was zocheh to a relationship with Torah that was pnimi. Moshe Rabbeinu had an intuitive knowledge of what was good and not okay. There were times we had to elaborate, but it was Slavchad and Pesach Sheni. There were certain times where things came up. But Moshe Rabbeinu, by and large, intuitively understood everything. B'derech ha'pnimi, ayadei dveikas to Ribono Sha'olam. So he's sitting in Rabbi Akiva's shir, and Rabbi Akiva is explaining, he's darshening things, al pi toras ha'seichel. He's explaining things, how this halacha makes sense, and why this halacha that way. He's explaining things, derech ha'saga be'iyan ha'sichli. Rav Dessler calls derech ha'chutz, the external. It's not as internal knowledge. He says, ulamisha roa bifnin. To somebody that has that deep, deep intuitive knowledge, again, that deep internal hasaga of what Ribbono Shel Olam wants, they can feel it by virtue of their tahara and their purity. Hare haderech hachitzonios is ke'en chilohu. It's like inappropriate to do so. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he can't handle this at all. He can't handle it. What's going on? And what gives Moshe Rabbeinu comfort? When he hears Rabbi Akiva say, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. What's the pshat halacha l'moshe mi-sinai? Rabbi Akiva was telling his Talmidim, our Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, while we get there in different ways, while Moshe Rabbeinu was there, al derech ha-pnimi, and we are derech ha-chitzoni, it's mamish the same conclusions. We just get there in different ways. One of them, we recreate, al pi derech ha-seichel, we work, we figure out, we're able to analyze. And one of them is a deep, intuitive kind of a knowledge. So that says Moshe Rabbeinu, now I'm comforted. Because I see that even though it's different than what I gave over, that even though it looks a little bit different, I can't follow why you're talking about things in this particular way, it's all coming to the same place. It's all coming to Derech HaPnimi, a certain internal knowledge. This, many suggest, is Pshat in the Maimer Chazal, that Kol Ma'asha Talmud Vasek Asad Chadesh, everything of Talmud's ever going to be Chadesh, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. What does that mean? Different Mahalachim. But one Mahalach is, every Chiddush, every discovery that we're going to have in the world of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu had an intuitive appreciation for, an intuitive knowledge of where these things go. It doesn't mean it was, he said the Chiddush that the Ruggit Shavar said about civil marriage. He was thinking about it, like, other than he's got civil marriage. I wonder what he would say about this. I think the Ruggit Shavar's pshat is a pshat, but so could be Rav Hankin and so could be Rav Moshe. It doesn't mean it was that way. It meant there was a deeper internal awareness and knowledge that was present. And says, Rav Dessler, that's the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says that was the Torah predominantly. So that's why, whereas Shlomo HaMelech saw a stira between Shlomo HaMelech was in a high madrigal, he's all good. The one thing he couldn't cop a little bit was how it fits with Parah Aduma, Chok, Mitaris Tamei. There was a gap between Seichel and Pnimi. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no gap even between Seichel and Pnimi. It was all just Pnimi, deep, real understanding of that which takes place. So suggests Rav Dessler. Yeah. One second, okay. Now you have to deal with the following question, which is Isaac's question. Even if there are these two models of Torah, so which model of Torah is better? Which model of Torah is more ideal? Which one are we going for? So, in the world of Rav Dessler, it's actually pretty clear. He says as follows: Etzem haTorah nivra l'lamudosa b'derech apnimi. Real Torah should be given over based on this internal, intuitive, kedusha feeling of what is right and what is not right. I don't have to explain rationally why it's so. I feel it. Where the avos knew that this is not appropriate, that's not appropriate. Ilmali chait adam harishon v'ha'egel. If not for the fact that we sinned, kach haisa nilmedas. This is the way that we would still be learning Torah nowadays. Meaning it wouldn't be a shir because you can't give it over that way. It's almost like we would be just sitting down, I guess, and we would be like feeling Torah at that particular time. Says Rav Dessler, that is the form of Torah, v'kach b'chinas olam haba. That's a kind of Torah when Chazal say in the Gemara Baba Basra, Ashrei Mi Shebalakan, b'talmudo v'yado, they talk about learning a Torah, but olam haba. What they mean is not a Talmud Torah that people are sitting down with a shtender and a gemar in front of them. It means a certain pnimi awareness and knowledge of what is taking place. Aval olam haba haTorah shebaat miyusenu he levad hanish eres lanu. Olam haba is the internal pnimi that is really, really there. That's what Avraham Avinu learned. Beis Kli Yosef Chazal say that's what gave him Torah. Okay, now we have to just point out one particular layer in this Mahalach of a Dessler, which is better, so the higher Madrega is al derech ha-pnimi, to be so pure. But the madrega of al pisechel, again, this is a little bit some of the Torah cook, which we're not talking about. But the madrega of al pisechel has an advantage. It's not as ideal, but it has an advantage. The advantage is it can be taught and given over. The advantage is it can last in all generations. Even in a world of breakdown of that level of real deep pnimi, so it's able to be able to persist in that kind of a way. In Lashon of Rav Kook, channeling the Gemara in Baba Basra, that's the b'china of Chacham Adif Minapi. That there's a form of nevuah, which is a higher madrega of tapping into Rabbi Shalom's will, but it can't sustain itself always if people aren't on that madrega. Chai Yisrael sins, and that's where the Chachma comes in. That's where a person has to be able to learn. What's interesting then, according to Rav Dessler, is the phenomenon, according to Rav Dessler, that Talmud Torah al derech ha-pnimi, the Tohar Nefesh, the Dveikas to Hashem, the Dveikas to Hashem, the Rebbe Apfel writes it up, by the way, he summarizes it. There's what he terms Deya Tochnes Panimius, Janitit Bidka'at Musav, perhaps best termed as intuitive knowledge. A knowledge of self, morality, and positive value does not require cognitive investigation or rational explanations. They are intuited naturally. We just feel like what is right. We feel like what is right. That is the Mahalach of Rav Dessler, which is very scary. In many ways, what it means that all the Torah that we learn, I don't know if it's like demoralized for you, this, the beauty of being able to continue it, but none of it's the way Torah is supposed to really be done. If not for the fact that we sinned, we would not be learning the way that we're learning right now. We're learning right now because we've messed up, because we've sinned, because we require Seichel. It's like the Gemara Mesechas Temura, that Torah was forgotten, Bimei, you know, Avlo Shemosha, and Tosniel Bekanazis is Choser, our people Pulo. So the Tosniel Bekanazis is functioning in the B'diavet scene of needing to be Choser things, Alpi Derech HaSeichel, but it's not really considered to be so ideal at all. That is the Mahalach of Rav Dessler. One or two quick questions. Yeah.
Would Dessler think that Gemara, like, actually be spoken on the other is, like, kind of like a prerequisite that to get to that state?
Okay.
Torah and all, probably you have
to okay. So Rav Dessler does think that Torah Alpi Seichel becomes a prerequisite for the Torah of Pnimi, at least in our reality. Meaning, Lav Dafka Avma Vinu had that, but at least in our reality. The Rav views things very, very, very differently. The Rav views the Torah that we learn as much more of an ideal, of the way that Torah was given over in a way which is unique. Let me begin with a little bit of background. We referenced when we spoke about Nekudas, about Rav Dessler and Chesed, that the meaning of Tzelem Elokim is very definitional for what you think man's purpose is. Man is created in the image of God. Well, that's going to be very foundational what we're supposed to do. So for Rav Dessler, Tzelem Elokim meant man's capacity to give. Nesina. I give over, and that's what makes me into me, and that's when Nesina plays a dominant role for Rav Dessler. It's part of our Tzelem Elokim. The Rav comes from a world that looks, and this is where it's a little bit different, but he's channeling, you know, I guess the way people say it nowadays, like Reb Chaim Volozhiner vibes. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim understood Tzelem Elokim, and this some people have pointed out, that in Tzelem Elokim, Tzelem Elokim means the same way that God can create worlds, God created our world, that every time a person performs a mitzvah, they are creating upper worlds. Whatever that means, I'm creating worlds of Kedusha, and when a person does Averas, they're destroying worlds. That the mitzvahs we do, we create realities, and the Averas destroy realities. Chaim Volozhiner explains, Tozak of Yosef and Parsha Ekev, I believe, has a similar mahalach, that's pshat in the pasuk of Sula Mutzav Artsav, not pshat, that's the remes in the pasuk, of Sula Mutzav Artsav, Rosho, Magia, Hashamayma, that man is like a Sula Mutzav Artsav, we're like a ladder rooted in this particular world, but what we do is Rosho, Magia, Hashamayma. The things we do are there. The Rav, in the Rav's understanding of Tzelem Elokim, he shares one thing with the Chaim Volozhiner, which is that what makes man unique and in the image of God is that we are creators. We are creators. For the Rav, our creative capacity is foundational to what it means, Tzelem Elokim, that we have Tzelem Elokim, the fact that we are able to create. The Rav in Halachic Man is in the English translation on page 81. Halachic Man received the Torah from Sinai, not as a simple recipient, but as a creator of worlds, as a partner with the Almighty at the creation. The power of creative interpretation, chiddush, is the very foundation of the received tradition. This is a line that requires a little bit of a packaging, but it's astoundingly significant. God did not give us Torah. And here it was God's, and now he gave it to us, and then we just keep it as is. There is a, the Ribono Shel Olam wants us, and part of Kabbalah is a Torah. This is part of the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia of Torah being lo b'shamayim hi. God gave Torah over to us, and the charge was for us to become partners in the unfolding of Torah. There are klalim of what we can do and what we can't do. There are yugim omidos about how a person is supposed to learn. But there's an element of chiddush that is built into our misorah. There's an element of innovation. There's an element of playing a role cognitively, rationally, of understanding and coming along and creating. The Rav on page 99 there, halachic man is a man who longs to create. That a person who learns seriously, they value the idea of a chiddush. They value the idea of a new part of Torah. Because when they're doing so, that's a part of the kiyum of Kadosh Baruch Hu giving us the Torah originally. The fact that we create intellectually, the fact that we are engaged and we are mechadesh, chidushei Torah, is not a breakdown of misorah. It is a fulfillment of what we are supposed to do. Okay, so are there chidushim that cross the line? We call those shinuyim. Those are changes. But a chiddush is part of what we are meant to really do. It relates for the Rav into the real world also. For some, it relates to the phenomenon of virapo yirape, of being a person who creates, of being a person who takes charge, of being a person who impacts, of being a person who's trying to conquer, being a person who's active. That in many ways the goal of man is to play, is to be a partner with Ribono Shel Olam in the act of creation. For some Rishonim, this gufa is part of the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Why? What is the mitzvah of Bris Milah? So the mitzvah of Bris Milah is the baby's created and the baby has an orla. And on the eighth day, we will be celebrating a Shalom Zachar, please God, this Friday night for Reuven. And his kid. I guess it's part of Shiloh, who Shalom Zachar is really for. But we are going to be, celebrating at a bris. So what's the mahalach of Hasaras Ha'orla? What's the goal of the mitzvah of Bris Milah? So a little bit of mahalach Rishonim. For some Rishonim, the baby was created. But the baby's creation was not fully complete. There's still one more thing that prevents the baby from being Shalem. And what we are doing when a person fulfills the mitzvah of Bris Milah, they're being mashlim, the creation of that child. They're being involved in the creation. Like the Gemara says in Kiddushin that there are three shutfin ba'adam, the parents and the Ribono Shel Olam. So part of the parents' role in Bris Milah is even that final step. We are active and we are partners in that particular piece of the creation, of the way that works. Interestingly enough, Salvechik argued that his grandfather's derech in learning, Chaim Brisker, was very important because not just that it gave creativity, but here they share something with Rav Dessler, albeit in different ways. They both agree that we needed this to be able to get by. They both agree that we needed this in order to be able to get by. That the way the Rav said it once was that if Rav Chaim didn't come along and give us a Talmud Torah, which was even more creative, which was even more innovative, which was more of that. So what was going on at the time by Rav Chaim is that people are making the world of the Haskalah intellectually, people are pulled to lots of different directions. The intellectual secular world was very, very enticing. Was very, very enticing. And if Torah were not able to put up the argument that we are at minimum just as good and just as rigorous, at minimum just as impressive to the outside person, if not for that, they would tune out Torah. Meaning it needed to be that we are constructing, that what we're doing is we're also building, we're also discovering, we're also creative, we're also rigorous, it's also enticing. It's all of those things. But for the Rav, it's not a b'dieved phenomenon. For the Rav, it's not really, it should all be panimi, but what can you do? For the Rav, this is the real goal. Creativity in the spiritual realm. Creativity becomes so very, very dominant. So very, very dominant. This mahalach in general about a Torah which is more creative, about a Torah which is predicated on Chiddush, about a Torah which is more dynamic, or one that's less so, and what the ideal is, has massive, massive implications. Massive implications. I'll speak very, very briefly. Rabbi Apfel, I think, argues, right late last night, Rabbi Apfel basically argues that there are, this piece of the Rav has massive hashkafic implications. Because the Rav thinks that this is true not only for Talmud Torah, he thinks it's true in general. Meaning that there's supposed to be a certain kind of activity, a certain kind of creative and taking control, partners of creation becomes very, very important. He pointed out there of Schechter in discussing Samar Rebbe's view on Eretz Yisrael, so invokes elements of this perspective. Samar Rebbe, part of the Samar Rebbe perspective on Geula is that man is supposed to be entirely passive until the Geula comes. We aren't supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. We aren't supposed to try to build anything in Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't. The fact that there's a kotel, we dafka shouldn't go to the kotel. The kotel represents, you know, Zionist victory, and it's a big nisayon of the Sitra Achra that was involved in even giving us the kotel. And it's a terrible place to do. It's me'akev the geula, and it caused the Holocaust. Even I mean that timing wise couldn't work out, but Zionism was involved in that. For Satmar Rebbe, it's all those things. And at the core for the Satmar Rebbe is that we're supposed to be somewhat passive, somewhat passive. At the core, this is what Schechter points out, lav dafka. You know, that we're supposed to be creative and playing a role in these things. Playing a role in these things. It's like about Yosef Bronstein, a dear and old friend, a very, very talented, very, very talented Talmud Chacham. So put out an article once about how he thinks one of the big machloksim in regards to certain hashkafic issues is a fundamental machlokas when there's nevuah which is given over in the world of Nach. Are we supposed to do what we can to bring that nevuah to fruition, or if the nevuah is there, we are supposed to be passively waiting until the nevuah comes true? In the world of the Rav, we're creative, and it's at the core of Kabbalah Satorah. The ideal Kabbalah Satorah has us being creative. It's a response to something. It's the analysis. In that way, it goes back to the Gemara Meseches Temura. The Gemara in Temura, we referenced a second ago, but just to give you two different like reads of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Temura on Tazayin or so. One second. The Gemara tells us here in Meseches Temura that there was a... one second. I'm definitely in the more or less the right place, but not actually in the right place. That... It says in Gemara that in Bimei Avlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu we forgot a degree of Torah. It says in Gemara, if you remember Shmuel, Shloshes Alafim Halachos Nishtachlu Bimei Avlo Shel Moshe. There were thousands of halachas that we lost in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they said to Yoshua, find out what the psak is. So Yoshua says, Lo Bashamayimi, I can't ask Hashem what the psak is. They weren't sure what to do. Ein Navi Rashi L'Chadish Davar Me'ata. What am I going to do? So the Gemara says eventually what ended up happening was Asniel ben Kenaz comes forward, and Asniel ben Kenaz is able to be chozer all the dinim mitoch pilpulo. He's able to be chozer all the dinim mitoch pilpulo. The way Rav Dessler reads that Gemara in Meseches Temura, Lichora, is that we were supposed to keep all the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, but because we sinned and because we messed up, so everything really sort of fell apart. And in that sense, Asniel ben Kenaz is this person who's able to help us out in our time of need through this world of Torah al Pisecha. But none of it was what really was supposed to happen. None of it was really that ideal at all. Rosenzweig has definitely said many times, like, Asniel ben Kenaz is a personal hero. Asniel ben Kenaz is unbelievable. Asniel ben Kenaz is the person that my Torah has forgotten. Mitoch Pilpulo, through a serious, rigorous analysis of Torah, is able to rediscover all the different halachas that are present. Asniel ben Kenaz is amazing. For the Rav, Asniel ben Kenaz, of course it's bad we forgot to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. But Asniel ben Kenaz becomes the person who best exemplifies what it means to strive and create and to play a role in the unfolding of Torah, of a Torah which is lo bashamayim, which means the Torah which is one that we are very much connected to, a Torah which we are very much enthused by, a Torah which we are very much able to tap into in that kind of a way. In that sense, both Rav Dessler and the Rav look at what we do as necessary. But Rav Dessler and the Rav wonder, when Torah was originally given over, was this what really was supposed to be? Was this really, according to Rav Dessler, Torah was given over derech panimi? luchos bishonos. It was given over in that way. If we didn't say nechida egel, we would have just intuitively felt it. It wouldn't have the same Rebbe Talmud kind of a feel either. We would have just given it over. According to Salvechik, no, part of Kabbalah's Torah was given over, a Torah of Lo Bashamayimi. Part of the Yisod of Lo Bashamayimi is that we're supposed to play a role in it. And part of our Yisod in this world is that we are Shutzfin B'maisa Bereishis, that we continue to create. For Reb Chaim Volozhiner, even this, the fact that we learn is what continues to sustain the world, which means that we're really active partners in the world's continued functioning and creation. We're Shutzfin B'maisa Bereishis. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and that's true in Torah also. That's true in Torah also. And that's those different elements of Torah become so fundamental for the way in which you're supposed to learn. The role of a chiddush. The role of a chiddush is the ultimate kiyum of tapping into your tzal melakim. The role of a chiddush is nebuch, you have to be mechadeh something. It's almost like Rav Dessler said in the first week of Rav Dessler, like, it's a mess out there. So I'm going to pull from wherever I can to get his orus. You know, I'm going to pull from wherever I can to get his orus. If I get it from here, great. Get it from there, great. Like, whatever I can is what I'm going to get. I don't know if I quoted this part of my Satmar Rebbe conversation with the Satmar Chassid on the airplane when I asked him if in Satmar how popular Divrei Yoel is. Is that over or no? It was a really interesting. The worlds are all the same. I said, how popular is Divrei Yoel? Like, what's going on with Divrei Yoel? So he's probably about, I'm guessing he's about 50 or so. He said, my father-in-law learns Divrei Yoel. Satmar Rebbe, he learns Divrei Yoel every single day. He can't get by without Divrei Yoel. He remembers Rabbi Yoelish. He remembers the shmuzin that were given every single day. He said, us, in our generation, he said, so I'm mamish, I'm satmar through and through. I'm satmar through and through. But when it comes to chizuk, we're going to take it wherever we can get it. He said, Rav Biederman, amazing. Rav Kluger and Beit Shemesh, amazing. The chizuk, wherever we can get chizuk, we're going to be able to go. So that Rav Dessler had elements of that. You know, whatever I can get, I can get. For Dessler, the reason why that's so is because, to go back to the muscle that Futner gave, because everyone's eating potatoes. Everyone's eating potatoes. No one's having flay sticks. No one's having this. It's all about the Evan Metzia. So, okay, it's an Evan. Okay, this is where the kids are coming. Whatever I can get, I'll get. Because, like, you know, we're at the door towards the end of the Shicha. We're hoping for things soon. And that's what it really is. For the Rav, there's an element of the creativity, of the Chiddush, which is powerful, which is important, which is about man playing a central role in building. And for the Rav, again, it isn't just building in Torah. It's also building in the world. Like, he looks at technological advancements a certain way, because it's man's telem elokim to have a certain control and to play a certain kind of role. Kabbalah Satorah Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to be celebrating this evening. Part of what we're celebrating is the fact that we got a Torah for Rav Dessler. It's a Torah which Baruch Hashem and all servants we can learn even al pi derech haseichel, but a Torah that we hope one day we can become pure enough and holy enough. That it should be pure enough that we can intuit Torah and that we can be able to feel what we know is wrong, what we know is right, al pi, just being in touch with Ribono Shel Olam. But according to, I guess I'm with the Maisa, but according to Salvechik, there's an element, according to the Rav, of Kabbalah Satorah. A person sits down tonight and they have a Daf Gemara open, they hear a Chiddush, that they're involved in Talmud Torah process. That's what the Lechachilo plan was supposed to be. We're supposed to sit, we're supposed to learn, we're supposed to do our best, and become creative partners in the unfolding of things.